Welcome to our business segment right here on the Midday News Bulletin that is on the radar on Eagle FM. Now, in our first business news, Nampower has repaired the Omburu Kine VK line, which collapsed last week. Last week, it was reported that the vandalism was suspected of having been the cause of the collapse of Nampower's tower. The incident occurred on Thursday, 1st September 2022, at around 1300 hours. Nampower would like to inform its customers and the Namibian nation at large that the Omburu line, which fell on Thursday last week, has been repaired, said Nampower's manager of corporate communication and marketing, Tangeni Kambangula. Kambangula said the line was returned to service on Monday, 5th of August 2022, at around 1600 hours. And he added that upon inspection, Nampower discovered that supporting stay wires on the power line were removed. It, in suspicion, act of vandalism compressing the support of the tower and causing it to collapse. He said he added that the tower collapsing resulted in a failed fire and no power interruption was experienced due to the trip of the Omburu circuit. Nampower has since apologized for any inconvenience that the incident and the restoration and operation might have caused, stating that while it encourages the public to be vigilant and to speak out against vandalism of national infrastructure by reporting any suspicious activity to the nearest police station. Now, last week, Nampower said the line which collapsed is one of the transmission lines which supplies the coastal area. They said that this specific incident highlights the precautionary measures which have been undertaken by people situated along the line, non-adherence to safe distances and clearance around electricity infrastructures can result in hazards, injury or other related matters. The statement reads, for the safety of the public, Nampower had advised that all wires and infrastructure must be treated as dangerous during any incident. In July, Nampower has also blamed the partial nationwide power outage experience around midnight to a voltage line collapsing on the ARIB, which supplies the country's electricity from South Africa. According to them, in a media statement at that time, Nampower said that the 220 kilovoltage line was overloaded, and that is what we are getting from Nampower repairing the Omburu line. And more in our business news, the Government Institution Pensions Fund, GIPF, launches its whistleblower and ethics help desk platform, and this platform is aimed at bringing out or talking about corruption when it comes to the company. And speaking on the matter is Hilma Utoni, who is the deputy company secretary, and she will be talking about the launch of the ethics help desk.
The GIPF ethics help desk, the aim is to provide an enabling environment for all its stakeholders to disclose any unethical or improper conduct, be it fraud or corruption, etc. So the objective of this platform is really to encourage all our stakeholders to speak out freely against any sort of improper conduct. And this conforms to GIPF's stance of zero tolerance towards dishonesty, fraud, corruption, and any other improper conduct. In 2017, GIPF introduced or implemented a ethics management program. And in terms of this program, GIPF has integrated ethical standards in its strategy as well as its operations. And those ethical standards really inform our internal policies, practices, and procedures. Now, one of the policies that have been adopted in terms of this ethics management program is the whistleblower policy. And this whistleblower policy really just sets out the framework establishing an enabling environment for all GIPF stakeholders to blow the whistle on any improper conduct. And in terms of this whistleblower policy, GIPF is required to establish a platform through which all its stakeholders can securely and anonymously blow the whistle on improper conduct. And this platform is called the GIPF Ethics Help Desk. Anonymity is really a crucial aspect in whistleblowing. So I think it's important for me to really inform the public that the Ethics Help Desk is managed by an independent third party called the Ethics Help Desk Pty Ltd, which is a company based in South Africa. And when you click on the link on the GIPF website, it actually takes you to a different page. So you are removed from the GIPF IS environment onto the environment of the service provider. And that service provider does not track IP addresses or any other information that can identify the source of the whistleblower. The GIPF Ethics Help Desk is really an online or web-based application through which GIPF, not only employees and members, but the public at large can blow the whistle on improper conduct. And this platform, like I said, it's web-based. When you click on the link that can be found on the GIPF website, which is www.gipf.com.na, you are provided with various options to blow the whistle. So you can complete an online form. You can speak to an artificial intelligence robot, which will ask you questions and then convert those answers that you give, in a document. You can also use an anonymous, WhatsApp or Telegram, line by scanning a QR code if you choose that option. And then lastly, you can also opt to speak to an actual an agent, which is an actual person that you can blow the whistle to.
Meanwhile, the Chief Executive Officer of GIPF, David Nuyoma, noted that GIPF, with a membership of over 145,000 members and with an asset value of over 140 billion Namibian dollars, the whistleblower platform launch signifies the fight against corruption as a critical component in guarding and growing members' benefit for their great good. He added that members, GIPF staff, and the public can rest assured that the help desk is managed by an independent service provider that offers secure and anonymous botting. No cell phone or mobile number or email address is required. The service is separate from GIPF's environment and does not track IP address or other data that could identify a whistleblower.
First of all, it is always regrettable and disappointing. It's almost a step in the back when you see colleagues transgression. And when we picked up through our systems that there were anomalies in the transactions, we launched an internal investigation through our internal audit in order to see whether these anomalies were mere errors or whether they were intended or malicious. So we could see that there was prima facie evidence, and therefore we reported the matter to the police. And the police, I must congratulate them or commend them for their prompt action. They did not waste time. Same day, they were with us to gather as much information as possible. And that led to the case being taken to court. So at the moment, as you understand, it will be difficult to comment on any matter pertaining to the case. As
now, this comes as GIPF has vowed to recover any funds that could have been lost as a result of fraud and corruption. The pension administrator is currently reeling from a fraud incident involving $17 million of members' money, resulting in the arrest of three of its employees. It is exactly 13 minutes past the hour of two. You are listening to the business segment right here on Eagle FM. Do stay tuned. We are going to take a short commercial break and we'll be right back.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Now, HDF Energy, which is developing a green hydrogen power plant in Swakopmund, says it has submitted its scoping report with the Ministry of Environment and Tourism. The report gives assurance to the ministry that processes that are proposed to be followed to ensure environmental compliance during the implementation of the project are sound, practical, and make sense. These important steps in the permitting process confirms a favorable context for the project. As a result, HDF Energy is one step closer to constructing the first green hydrogen power plant in Africa, among the first that HDF Energy deploys globally. It comforts the capacity of Namibia to become a tribalizer in a green hydrogen power that others will emulate. Now, this step is also one of many that ensures compliance with Namibian laws and for the benefit of Namibian people. HDF Energy Director for Southern Africa, Nicholas, has said, with the recent acceptance of the scoping report by the Environment Ministry, HDF Energy Namibia can now proceed with finalizing the Environmental and Social Impact Assessment Report. The renewable Swakopmund project, which is expected to become commercially operational in 2024, is being developed at an estimated cost of $3.1 billion and is expected to improve access to reliable, stable, and zero carbon base load electricity to be delivered 24/7 to more than 140,000 homes throughout the year. The project is expected to create 300 direct jobs during its construction phase and 45 during its operational phase, with more jobs created indirectly across the value chain. HDF Energy is a French major independent power producer specializing in mass shortage of storage of electricity and non-intermittent renewable energy generation. And that is what we are getting right there. Now, more in our business segment, the First National Bank, that is FNB, has been awarded the best digital banking app in Africa. This was announced at the 2022 World's Best Consumer Digital Bank Awards in Africa, an event hosted by Global Finance Magazine. Founded in 1987, Global Finance has circulation of 50,000 readers in 193 countries, territories, and districts, and its audience includes senior corporates and financial officers responsible for investment strategic decision at multinational companies and financial institutions. FNB Head of Retail Transactional Banking, Jerome Nabasep, said that the bank is excited and humbled by the award. "We're excited and humbled about this prestige award as it proves once again that FNB is a leader in digital innovation and remains at the forefront of product and service excellence," he said. At the same award ceremony, FNB also received the Best Consumer Digital Bank in South Africa award, and Nabasep said both awards are based on the strength of the bank's strategy to attract service customer digitally. He says our services, our success in acquiring customers to use digital offering, the growth of digital users and of that of our product offerings is evidence of tangible benefits gained from digital initiatives as well as the design and functionality of our digital channels, he said. He said as part of the bigger picture, FNB Group and the bank continues to invest in modernizing its platforms and interfaces so that customers can manage their financial and lifestyle needs as they desire. Now, the FNB app has become a one-stop shop for millions of customers with record volumes of intersections. Access to technology is essential to broadening financial inclusion, and over the years, FNB has focused on reducing barriers to entry for customers. We zero-rated our FNB apps years ago to ensure that our customers do not incur data costs to access our services, and we continue innovating to help our customers achieve the goal, he concluded. And that is what we are getting right there. 19 minutes past the hour of two, you are listening to the business segment right here on Eagle FM. Now, Standard Bank Namibia has issued a notice warning the public against sharing account details. According to the bank, scammers are falsely using the name of Standard Bank employees to lure people into sharing account information. Do not share your bank account information, even if they say they are from the bank, said Standard Bank's head of marketing, Margaret Mengo. Mengo urged the public to never share any account details via email or the cell phone with anyone, adding that the bank will never ask for its client's PIN or login credentials. Even if they claim to be from the bank and use the name of one of our employees or you know that you know and trust, we will never ask you for your PIN or login credentials. We do not do it. Immediately call our customer contact center and report these scammers, she said. She said scammers may try to convince one that they are truly from the bank by presenting you with some of the customer's actual information. This information, she said, is sourced in various ways, such as social networking sites like Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, as well as card information from restaurants, service stations, online stores, personal information such as addresses, PO box, contact details, and provided during registration at a contest or rather sports event or a function, or leaked information through hacks that are available for sale on the dark web. Mengo said the public should always treat these kinds of calls or communications as suspicious, stating that even if they say your account has been compromised and they are trying to protect your account, this is their method of installing panic and getting you to act irrationally, she explains. Furthermore, she also said there is a voice note doing rounds on WhatsApp as well as other social media platforms claiming that Standard Bank accounts in Swakopmund have been compromised and that people's accounts have been cleared and money have been withdrawn. She says this is false information. Take note, if the information does not come directly from the bank, it is not true. She concluded that Standard Bank will at all times inform its clients if their accounts have been compromised. Please refrain from further distributing such false information and messages. Make sure you are subscribed to all our official social media platforms to have immediate access to any information we share. Together we can stop scammers from defrauding us and our peers, she concluded. 21 minutes past the hour of two, you are listening to the business segment right here on Eagle FM. Do stay tuned. We are taking another short commercial break and we'll be right back.
Hello, Namibia. Welcome to the world of Lela Pay. Lela Pay is an easy-to-use payment and booking mobile app that allows you to send out classified adverts or messages to your consumers and have them published in real time. What can you do on Lela Pay? Place classified adverts and messages on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay app, and place adverts in the Villager and many more vendors. You can also make payments. One can place messages of any events, including promotion, invitations, birthday wishes, funeral notices, and any announcement you wish to announce on a national level, starting from $3.50 per message. So, how does it work? Download Lela Pay app and open the app. Step 1. Register an account for free and log in to your account. Step 2. Go to your wallet balance and fund your account by filling in the required details. Step 3. Once registered, go to the vendor icons and select a vendor of your choice, Eagle FM or The Villager. Step 4. Schedule your message, type it out, and press send. Step 5. Once sent, your message or advert will shortly get published on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay, or The Villager newspaper. You also have the option to submit artworks for your adverts. Send these to digital@omalaiti.com and they will be published shortly. To be added onto the vendor list, contact us at 081-203-9633 or 083-288-400 or simply email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Lela Pay. Download it today. Available in the App Store and Google Play.
Now, First Rand Namibia, through its foundation, injected $5 million into the development workshop Namibia Land and Housing Project, which is aimed at delivering affordable service land to low-income individuals around the country. DWN is a non-governmental organization focused on sustainable urban development, informal settlement, and disadvantaged communities that reside in them. DW works through partnership agreements with local authorities in support of national development goals. They currently run 4 programs that include land and housing, urban sanitation, early childhood development, and urban infrastructure. Speaking at the handover ceremony, First Rand Foundation Chairperson explains that the foundation recognizes that it has a responsibility to deliver both financial value and positive social outcomes for Namibians, a principle that was introduced as a strategy priority for the group in 2019. We understand that delivering shared values requires innovation, deep thinking, constant change, and unrelenting commitment. Our journey to that place began many years ago. Our commitment to the destination is firm. We believe that the outcome in properly partnering with others who do what matters has proven it delivers value both financially and socially and earns the trust of all stakeholders, she said. Now, RMB support to NWN's initiatives also paved the way for a new FNB loan scheme currently piloted in Oshakati and Okahao. This is through this scheme, clients of DWN and NCE Land and Housing Project are eligible for an FNB personal loan of up to $5,000 and for a period between 24 to 48 months. Now, she says that First Rand Namibia Chief Executive Officer Conrad Dempsey, who said that the provision of affordable land and housing delivery is the most meaningful catalyst for creation of intergenerational wealth for Namibians. DWN trustee Ted Rood, who received the investment on behalf of the DWN Land and Housing Project, expressed his gratitude to First Rand Namibia, saying that this investment is a breakthrough for DWN and will go a long way towards the provision of affordable service land as well as support in terms of access to housing loans for the beneficiaries. Also at the handover ceremony, Urban and Rural Development Minister Erastus Utoni commended First Rand and DWN for their contribution towards servicing of low-cost residential land and provision of housing to Namibian nation. Now, decent shelter is one of the basic human needs, along with food, clothing, and in light of the severe housing deficit affecting the low- and middle-income households, I believe addressing the housing backlog has the potential to boost economic growth and mitigate income differences, he said. He further implored the private sector to continue to support the government's efforts on land and housing development by coming up with innovative ways of building quality but affordable housing, or houses, as well as developing affordable housing financing products that meet the needs of the lower income groups. And given the economic hardships, the government alone cannot bear the cost of servicing land for housing and is counting on the support of broader society, churches, NGOs, associations and universities, the private sector and banks all have a role to play towards the provision of affordable land and housing delivery, Utoni said. He concluded by congratulating the First Rand Foundation for the vision and support towards the provision of land and housing, adding that government takes note of the significant contributions made by the private sector in delivering of housing stock and access to financing. FNB Namibia, RMB and West Bank and Point Break, as well as Outsurance through the First Rand Namibia Foundation, have invested over 80,000 million Namibian dollars into Namibia over the past 10 years. And that is what we are getting from the housing loan that is expected exactly 1 minute to 2:30. Just touching on again. Now, this is into our financial indicator, touching on the project in Swakopmund, still giving the report on the HDF report that was submitted to the Environment Ministry, as well as yesterday 67.MN was traded on the overall index and 0.12 on the local index, that is from the NSX. This is my time to now sign off. We'll see you again tomorrow, same time, same place. I'll hand over to my colleague Franz, who will take you through the Oshiwambo news.
Hello Namibia. Indira pamwenate muyuni walela pay. Lela pay onkaro ompu womafutiro nokuthisa ngoka haguningwa pamkaro gongodi hoka tovuru okutuminako omatumaraka goe agehe na ngoka gopaipindi notaga dhanwa nokutura mombepo ethimbo ojo tunjoka. Otovuru okuninga shike ko lela pay. Otovuru okutura omatumaraka goe mombepo torongitha oka epa ko Eagle FM nenge ka imba nenge hoka ka lela pay. Nenge utire moshifo sho The Villager ni kwao ya gwedhapo. Otovuru okuninga omafutiro goe. Otovuru ishe okuturako omatumaraka goe giinima ya yoroka. Ngashi, omatumaraka gorukozi, omatumaraka gomahio, omatumaraka gomaharero ya mbeko gomavaro, no matumaraka gokwarukehe ngoka wahara utseithire oshigwana ashikesho mo Namibia, okuza owarapo dorandatu ni thiringa itano metumaraka kehe. Lela pay oharongo ngini. Konga oka epa ko lela pay ko Play Store nenge ko App Store eto katura kakarekeri mongo dhioe. Paturura o akaunta e oshari eto turamo o mauthemba goe. Inda ko kanjato koe ki imariwa eto turako oshimariwa to udhitha shoka topurwa uudhithe. Shampa wa mana okuturamo o mauthemba goe hogora kucha wahara okurungitha ehangano nenge o vendaini o Eagle FM nenge o The Villager. Ronge kitha etumaraka joe eto thindi mpoka pashangwa send utume. Shamba watumu etumaraka joe otariturwa ko Eagle FM, imba, lela pay, nenge ko The Villager. Ouna ishwe ompito yokutura ko irongwa moyoe yokomake. Tumina inima we ko digital etomalaite.com notai urikwa menderero. Opo ukare waguza kukara ndithi, tudengera nena kono raketa tuimwe mbari nora ndato ngoi hamano ndatu ndatu nenge kono raketa tuimwe ndatu mbari hetatu 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 ne no nora yeriari. Lela pay yimo nena nena tai adhika ko App Store noko Google Play Store.